a working relationship like we have with other agencies, be it ICE, be it FBI, be it Secret Service, be it DEA. We have to have these types of relationships.
So is it a good one?
Yes, I'd like to think it's a good one. I've not heard of any complaints.
Do you believe this conflicts with your representations at the December public meeting that contacts are infrequent and only for significant criminal matters?
No, because what I was basically talking about, because I referred to it then as well, is I was talking about officers out on patrol contacting ICE or doing that on a regular basis, i.e. asking people for driver's license, proof of insurance, immigration status, or when we go handle cases. I also made it very clear, though, that when we are working cases, things where we might need information from them as a resource, we would reach out to them, and that they do reach out to us.
You did say in the forum that we're not sending people to them to be deported. But in at least one of the emails, a Bloomington staffer said, anything you can do on this guy. That does seem like you're sending them people.
First of all, ICE is just not only for deportation purposes. ICE is part of the Marshals Task Force. They have people in DEA task forces, and they might want to open up their own investigation or provide us information. I don't think there's anything in any of those emails where it says specifically that we want people deported. That you can look at things, and from what I see in the different notes, people are trying to insinuate a lot of things, and you can insinuate all you want. You would have to prove something. And
Illinois People's Action is highlighting four specific emails out of the 198 pages of FOIAs. First off, your reaction to that ratio.
Well,
four versus 198 pages, or about six pages versus 198.
I believe that speaks for itself, in that out of 198 pages, they are concerned about six pages. I believe that literally speaks for itself. And from what my review is, and in speaking with our intel unit in regards to the law, I think only in one case or one email possibly where we had a request for some information in regards to a domestic violence incident, anything that has been done does not violate the Trust Act that was just passed in August, even back to 2014.
They're saying that an instance involving a missing person, another involving a traffic stop at which no contraband was found, a third, a request from ICE for current address information to the BPD without other criminal activity involved, and the fourth involving a person on a student visa who may have violated the terms of his visa, who might be working at a restaurant and being paid cash under the table, that those create fear in the immigrant community and that those kinds of incidents are already known and make the immigrant community less likely to call police.
Should
those things happen?
In these instances, yes, they should have happened. Our inquiries would have happened. And as long as you have people out spreading fear about certain things as opposed to coming and ask, they will be. I apologize. They should follow up on it. In the incident regarding the missing person, we had a missing person case. We had information that the missing person was not a legalized citizen and had been assigned to a family. We thought that ICE, if they were going to look for the person, or we were checking to see if they had any information on them, that would be a resource to help locate them. ICE never contacted our detective back. We ended up finding this person's mother in Honduras, who told us that the person we were looking for was, in fact, fine and doing well in New York. The only reason that we knew about the status was because of the family. In regards to the person, what was the other one about the eye shoot?
The college student who had transferred from Texas up to this community, ostensibly violating the terms of his visa, and then potentially taking money under the table for working at a restaurant. Are you asking ICE, are you interested in this guy? Well, isn't that shopping someone to ICE?
We are forwarding on to ICE because we don't investigate people taking money under the table. We had nothing to do that. But I will tell you this, as I recall, the person had received, like, registered at one school, received money at one, moved on to the other. These are kind of things that some people have misused funds for and are actively trying to avoid doing things the legal way. So,
in December, you said there can be situations where we need to contact a federal agency for information or assistance in an investigation of something serious.
Yes.
Is that something serious, that particular instance?
It could be something serious. I've been in law enforcement. This is my 30th year. Many misdemeanors, many small things have evolved into bigger things. You asked about the traffic stop. When I worked with state police, I worked on a drug interdiction unit. There were plenty of cars and trucks that were stopped, that were searched, or we talked to individuals that, because of information that was given to us, we knew that they had possibly been involved in narcotics trafficking. Just because they didn't have it then, they can have it later. That information is used later. You're putting the pieces together. You have people, and as I recall, specifically with that one, the person had other names. So sometimes when people come to our country, you have people from some countries who have multiple names. Anyone who has worked out here a lot knows that there are some people, and I preface that, some people who will lose their license for traffic violations or other things, even be arrested, and go back later and apply for identification using other parts of their name. The only way we can truly find out who they are is to check different resources. ICE is a resource.
The IPA contends police would be actually more effective because people wouldn't be as afraid to contact them if there were such a policy in place to limit these low-level contacts and only go with the major things like sex crimes, human trafficking, large-scale drug dealing. What's your take on that?
My take is this. First of all, with all due respect to them, they talk about sex trafficking, human trafficking, and these things. First of all, prostitution in this state is a misdemeanor. And if we get involved with human trafficking, as I said before, who do you think we have to work with? ICE. All things...
Well, there would be exceptions for those kinds of crimes, is what they're saying.
But what I'm saying is they think everything has to be a felony. We run across many things that may not be at the felony level that eventually rise at the felony level. So you have to start somewhere, and just a cursory call to an agency, be it ICE, be it DEA, be it FBI. That's what you're doing when you're trying to obtain information. A majority of those 198 pages, the majority of what we contact them about, and we also have a person assigned to the Marshals Task Force, they had emails there. Narcotics trafficking and felonies.
Can you have an effective relationship, in your view, with an agency like that if you were to limit it only to the clearly demonstrable, immediately apparent serious instances and cut out the ones that may or may not develop into anything serious but initially appear not to be serious?
Well, as I just said, little things can turn to big things. And you've seen nothing in here. I see people insinuating things. You've seen nothing in here that says, check on this person and deport them. If there would have been any language or anything like that, I'm sure that would have been pointed out. But we have a job to do. Public safety is very important and very paramount to people. And whether it be low level, because we think it has a potential to be high level, these are just a couple things like that student. But I will tell you, people get student loans and sell drugs. I'm not saying that's what this person is doing, but we see things. A lot of times we're trying to identify people who are committing other crimes or potential. We're trying to divert things. So we cannot have any. We have the Trust Act. The Trust Act has laid out the foundation for law enforcement to guide us. It is not a policy. It is the law. And that's what we are doing. And as I said, even with that 198 pages, from what I saw and from what we reviewed, we wouldn't have would not have violated the Trust Act back to 14.
Yeah, they're arguing that the Trust Act doesn't go far enough.
Well, before there was a Trust Act, there was nothing. Now there is a Trust Act. The Trust Act, what, August? It hasn't even been enacted for a year for them to determine if it's doing well or if it's not. I will tell you that I've met with a few leaders of different communities from out the country here. One as early as this morning. All they want is to be treated like everyone else. That's what they at. That is basically what they want. You saw a revision that the People's Action would want in regards to the proposed ordinance, not a policy. And in that, it refers to taking a person's immigration status into consideration. We don't ask about that when officers are out there working or responding to something. We don't do that. But I would ask you, so if someone is going to be arrested for something, do I treat a person differently because they may not have the proper immigration status to be here than I would a person who is here legally or a U.S. citizen? All people that I know and some of these other leaders that I spoke to, all everyone wants to do is to be treated the same.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Chief Brendan Hefner of the Bloomington Police Department. So do you think a more stringent policy created by ordinance would damage the ability of Bloomington Police to cooperate with ICE on higher level cases?
Yes.
A new draft policy is circulating, which would draw a brighter line, preventing such low-level contacts as were in most of the email FOIA, and yet carve out exceptions for drugs, human trafficking, and sex crimes against children. Would that pass federal muster? Would that be?
I can't tell you federally, but it would certainly hamper what we do because, as I've said before, you can have something and we start looking at a low level and just simply asking, as you'll see a lot of these, we're trying to identify people. When I spoke to a couple of our officers, one assigned to the Marshall Task Force, one was in the DEA Task Force, we're trying to identify people. What we get called a lot from ICE is sometimes for locations, or if we have cases, because they already have a case on a person. And when they call us, because of clearances at different level and sensitivity of cases, they don't tell us what it's about. And when we call them, we don't necessarily tell them what it's about. It's just a working relationship, and we're just trying to keep the public safe.
Should Bloomington Police be saying to ICE, are you interested in this guy?
When necessary, yes.
When is it necessary?
When the circumstances, whatever we have, whatever the circumstances are, yes. They can ask somebody if they are interested in them.